Two strangers meet in a park, each walking with a dog on a leash. They don't ask each other where they work or live or went to college or about the kind of car they drive or their favorite football team. They say one, perhaps two things. What kind of dog is that? What's her name? 20 minutes later, they know everything about each other's pet and then part way as friends. Not have each other over to dinner friends, but friends who look forward to seeing each other and their dogs again. When you consider the condition of pets in America before Pet Nation, it seems as if everything was photographed in black and white or sepia, all stills and no video. Pets were scattered here and there, nearly invisible, as if they didn't matter. Then they began to appear everywhere. Before long, pets were transformed from a diversion to the center of our culture and so many lives. This wasn't a purely personal experience. Pets became social glue, the common bond between people with little else in common, who would never otherwise have spoken to each other. That's the essence of Pet Nation and why I wrote this book. I majored in medieval and Renaissance history at Stanford. How's that for spotting a trend? Went to law school and became a business trial lawyer. I figured I'd spend my life in a courtroom, raise a family, and see the world. If you had asked me for 1,000 scenarios that might unfold in my life, building the Animal Policy Group and becoming a leading advocate and advisor in the pet world would not have made the list, not even close. Fortunately, that's what happened. In 2005, I received a phone call from Banfield Pet Hospital's founder, asking me to lead a pet lobbying effort with our federal government in Washington, D.C. This was possible then because everything was changing with pets in America. Dogs and cats went from the backyard to the bedroom, and then dogs headed out the front door of the house to every corner of the United States, every town, suburb, and city. Pets stepped into political and legal arenas, stirring up issues and passions we'd never thought about before. My daily world became the dramas at the intersection of pets and American society. My career as a trial lawyer and D.C.-based lobbyist morphed into a full-time national practice, fighting battles and advancing causes related to pets. No one else had the job I created, or rather shaped for myself. This job had never existed, and I've battled, cajoled, lobbied, and persuaded ever since. Pet Nation reveals that something about us, not about dogs and cats, has changed without our realizing what happened. Pets aren't a fad. They're more like the medicine America needs now for individuals and communities to feel better and to do better. This is a story of what happened, how it happened, where it happened, and why. We explore issues challenging Pet Nation today in a culture that wasn't prepared for dogs and cats to move center stage. We study the human-animal bond, legal restrictions, political conflicts, colorful history, cutting-edge research, and a pet healthcare system that's turned upside down. What I've discovered is often entertaining, occasionally surprising, and sometimes shocking. It's an insider's account of what no one saw coming 20 years ago, or could stop if they tried. Now, let's begin with a few stories about dogs and cats. March 14, 2019. The flight to Orlando, my third red-eye of the year, was delayed, but not without diversion. Besides the usual suspects tapping away on their iPhones and laptops, business travelers, Palm Beach dowagers, and families bound for Disney World, there was a new and decidedly more exotic passenger in the American Airlines Admirals Club that night. Well-groomed, with a jeweled necklace, a Louis Vuitton case, chestnut-brown coat, and long eyelashes, Suzette made a stir. From time to time, she sampled a few candies proffered by her traveling companion, a woman in her 30s with a similarly understated fashion flair, took a sip of Tasmanian rain bottled water, then sat back and closed her eyes, waiting for the flight to board. 3 years old, this long-haired chihuahua was accustomed to the comforts of business class. Seated across the aisle from her owner, pet parent, friend on the flight from Phoenix, I learned that Suzette had a busy social calendar, a passport of her own, more Instagram followers than I will ever have, and a full pampered week ahead of her in Boca Raton.